psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
Well, my relationship with Shirley has been one of the highlights of my life. Something precious happened in those childhood years, and I can't recover but one of them. Well, what do you think we were doing at home?
You can be sure we were on our knees.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Dr. Dobson and Ryan, I don't think I am the only one who is genuinely concerned about the direction our country is going these days.
Luann, I agree. I think there are probably millions of people who are concerned about what's going on. And today, Dad, we're going to talk to a congressman who's actually doing something about some of these issues.
You know, Ryan and Luann, this is one reason that I didn't want to retire when I left Focus on the Family. Because the country is in a great deal of trouble. Families are in trouble, but we are in difficulty as a nation, and I just felt like we needed to do something about it. Now, we're not going to turn this entire ministry, Family Talk, into something that has a political or a public policy bent, but we're certainly going to address it, and we will do it with the passion that we feel. Mm-hmm. And that's who we are, and mm-hmm. we might as well state that up front. And today we have an example of it. I am so pleased that I had a chance to speak with Congressman Randy Forbes. Now, I have many good friends in the House of Representatives, but Congressman Forbes and I are really just getting acquainted, and I respect him highly. He co-chairs the Congressional Prayer Caucus for the House of Representatives, and I will never forget how he helped to defend the National Day of Prayer Task Force mm-hmm. from those who attacked it back in May and wanted to keep it from even finding expression or keep Shirley and her team from meeting with those who had come to pray all day in the Cannon House office building. There was a concerted effort to keep them out. And Randy Forbes and 30 other congressmen came out on the steps of the Capitol building to say, no way, this mm-hmm. isn't going to happen. That is why I appreciate this man.
Well, I know I'm looking forward to your conversation with the congressman very much. He's a very busy man, but you two were able to catch up by phone here recently, really to discuss the whole issue of prayer, like you said, and our right to express our faith in the public square. Here now is Dr. Dobson and Congressman Randy Forbes on this Family Talk broadcast.
Congressman Forbes, it is such a pleasure to talk to you today, and I appreciate your joining us.
Well, Jim, it's always great to be with you. We just appreciate the great work you've done for families all across America.
Well, it belongs to the Lord, and I know you feel that way about why you are in Washington. You and I had an opportunity to sit down several weeks ago and talk together, and during that time I learned and was very gratified to observe just how passionately you feel about religious liberty and what's happening to it in our country, and you're concerned about freedom of speech and other things relating to our faith. What is the origin of that concern for you?
Jim, if you look around today, we have some wonderful ministries that have done great work for God's kingdom all across America. But the reality is, with three strokes of a pen, I could severely hurt all of those efforts. The first thing that I would do is put in the fairness doctrine, which would be one stroke of the FCC's pen or one piece of legislation. And as you know, it would basically take Christian radio, Christian TV off the air. The second thing that I would do would be to do away with the charitable contribution for these ministries, because if you do that, as you know, then the dollars end up going to the government instead of those ministries. The third thing that I would do is to prohibit these organizations from having the freedom to be able to hire people who were like-minded to serve in those organizations. All three of those things are actually being promoted and pushed as you and I speak. But in addition to that, we are just seeing huge attacks across the country on issues of faith. We don't want to dominate the marketplace. We don't want to control it, as you know. We just want to have faith and religion having a seat at the table in America's place of ideas. And that's why we feel very passionate that we need to fight to preserve this access.
Well, Randy, give us some examples of what you're talking about. I frankly was blown away as you just sat and ticked off these various incidents that are occurring throughout the nation. And start with the struggle over the construction of the visitor center there in the Capitol building or underneath it. I think the $600 million was spent on that center, but you had a struggle with how it was intended.
Well, Jim, as you know, that structure is an actual part of the Capitol. It's not a separate part. It became an integral part of the United States Capitol. It was $621 million of taxpayer money. As they were constructing the Capitol, we were very concerned that they would not be putting an accurate depiction of our history in there, in that they would not be representing faith at all. But they literally would not allow us to go in and inspect it until it was almost completed. When they finally enabled us to go in and inspect it, we were just appalled at what we saw. There was almost no reference to faith in the entire visitor center at all. And in addition, they had taken our national motto, and as you know, our national motto is "In God We Trust." They refused to put the national motto in the visitor center. In fact, when you went into the main hall of the visitor center, engraved in stone on the walls, it said our national motto, E Pluribus Unum, which of course is not our national motto. They even refused to put the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag in the visitor center because it contained the word God. We had to mount a effort to try to stop that. Ultimately, the bill had to come back to the House, and when it did, we literally sat on the floor for hours telling them that we were going to try to stop the bill, if at all possible, that would have opened the visitor center, until we were able to get them to finally agree at about 10 o'clock at night that they would remove the language that said our national motto was E Pluribus Unum, and we made them literally pull the stones out that had that engraved on them. We also had them engrave in the wall our national motto, In God We Trust, and engrave the Pledge of Allegiance. And Jim, they had gone so far as when they did a mock-up of the speaker's podium in the House of Representatives, as anybody knows who watches C-SPAN at all, behind that podium are the words, In God We Trust. In the new visitor center, when they did that mock-up, they took In God We Trust out and just put stars across there. And when they did a picture of the actual podium so they could put that in the visitor center, they cropped off the part that said In God We Trust.
Now, what you were telling me is that from your observation, and we're very much in agreement with this, that that's not just something taking place on Capitol Hill. It's all throughout the culture, throughout the society. There is this effort to eliminate all references to faith, and certainly Christian faith, in anything that takes place in the institutions of our society and schools and throughout the country.
Jim, you're absolutely correct. And as you know, Christians comprise now 75 to 78% of the population in the United States. And yet over the last several decades, we have seen this constant erosion of just an access to the marketplace of ideas. Just some of those examples are these. We witnessed in the Veterans Administration, for example, them coming in and saying that veterans who'd served our country on a voluntary basis, now this was up to the veteran, could no longer have a flag-folding ceremony at their funerals because one of the 13 points in that flag-folding ceremony mentioned the word God. As you also know, we have a situation in Wisconsin where one single federal court judge has determined that the National Day of Prayer was unconstitutional. But she went further than that. A literal reading of her opinion would say that all 135 proclamations by presidents of the United States throughout our history requesting prayer would be null and void and illegal, In fact, you can't read her opinion without determining that the Declaration of Independence would have been unconstitutional based on her analysis. And just now, as you and I are talking, we have court rulings in Florida where we had a principal who had served the school district for 30 years, an athletic director for 40 years. The principal simply asked the athletic director to offer a 16-second prayer at a private booster club event with no students there except a few volunteer students. The federal judge in Florida brought them in under criminal sanctions, threatening to send them to jail for 6 months, $5,000 fine each, and also to do away what would have effectively done away with their retirement. In addition to that, the president of the Student Government Association and the senior class president were prohibited from speaking at their own graduation and giving valedictory addresses or commencement addresses because the judge said they might mention the name of Jesus Christ. It's this kind of efforts that we're seeing across the country, Jim, that we just have to begin standing up against and saying enough is enough.
Well, Randy, that's why I appreciate you and what you're doing so much. You are the co-chair of the Congressional Caucus on Prayer. I don't know if I have the words just right. Give them to me and tell me what's going on there.
Jim, we formed several years ago the first ever Congressional Prayer Caucus. It is a bipartisan caucus. It is comprised of Protestants, Catholics, charismatics, non-charismatics, people from every geographical area in the country. And the bottom line of what we stand for is to try to be a clearinghouse for ideas and to monitor this legislation, to monitor agency rulings, to monitor court opinions that are trying to deny religious freedoms and the access to the market place of ideas for people of faith across America. And the encouraging news, Jim, is that we have had just enormous success. In fact, right now, we are seeing not only our prayer caucus, which is doing incredibly well, but states across America are beginning to form prayer caucuses within their states and their state legislatures to be able to join with us. The state of Mississippi was the first one to unanimously agree in their House and Senate to form a prayer caucus to work with us. They actually had a call to prayer on the steps in Mississippi. Virginia is going to be next, and then we hope to be traveling to literally every state across America because it'll be the first time that we have been able to integrate all of these policymakers across the country so that they can know what's going on and we can have policies that effectively deal with some of these attacks before it's too late.
Well, that's where the hope lies. The picture is not entirely negative, even though there are scary things, irritating things that are taking place across the country. But there is also an effort to defend the things that we believe, the things of faith. Let's go to the judge who made that ruling in the school situation in northern Florida. I believe your prayer caucus came after that judge. Is that correct?
Well, what we did was we actually wrote a letter that basically indicated that we were watching that decision, too. The Washington Times printed that letter. It was signed by 60-some members of the United States House of Representatives. And on Thursday night, we sent the letter out on Tuesday. On Thursday night, that case was dismissed against those individuals. And, Jim, I think what has to happen across the country, for so long it was just these anti-faith groups, because what they've done is they've amassed huge sums of money. They go around the country and they pick their forums, they pick their judges, and then they focus those resources on one particular situation so they can get a precedent. Oftentimes, as you know, the network news is never going to cover it, so most people of faith don't even hear about these things until months, sometimes years after they've happened. And what we have to do is create networks around the country so that we can get this information out very, very quickly. And we have to make sure that these individuals who are making these decisions know that it's not just the anti-faith groups that are looking at what they're doing, but it's people of faith as well.
Well, and again, going back to some of the issues that you raised, of course, Judge Barbara Crabb, from the district court in Wisconsin, declared that the National Day of Prayer was unconstitutional, despite the fact that days of prayer go all the way back to the Continental Congress in 1775. George Washington called for a National Day of Prayer or a Day of Prayer. Abraham Lincoln did during the Civil War. Franklin Roosevelt read a prayer nationally during World War II on D-Day. Both George W. Bush and George Herbert Walker Bush called for days of prayer. 33 of 44 presidents have called for days of prayer. And yet this arrogant, imperious, politically active judge struck it all down and said that's all unconstitutional, including, as you mentioned, 135 proclamations of prayer issued by United States presidents. This is the kind of thing you're talking about, which we can't tolerate.
And Jim, if you look at the plaintiff in that case in Wisconsin, on their website, Jim, they will say that they sell stickers that they want people putting on Gideon's Bibles and hotels that warn people that reading them would be against their health. They run billboards to try to keep people from going to church on Sunday. And the reason is because they've had generations, literally centuries, to be able to compete in the marketplace of ideas. They've just lost. So now their strategy is to try to exclude people of faith from that marketplace of ideas. It's not what the founding fathers thought should happen in this country. It's not what's in the best interest of this country, and we have to make sure they don't succeed.
Well, you know that my wife Shirley is chairman of the National Day of Prayer, and on that day, just passed, in first week in May, there was an event at the Cannon House office building there on Capitol Hill, and there was an activist group that tried to shut it down, demanded that the Congress rise up and prevent it from taking place. And again, you and your colleagues in the Congressional Prayer Caucus came out on the steps of the Capitol building and defended what was about to happen there on the National Day of Prayer. I think you had more than 30 members of Congress that came out to speak for the National Day of Prayer?
Jim, we had 30-some that spoke, and we had even more than that that were there, and they just didn't have time to speak because obviously time just ran out on us. And I was able to attend that event that you were talking about, that Shirley did. It was a wonderful event. It was something that I think really is important to our country. You mentioned earlier, oftentimes some of our presidents calling for prayer when we had great battles we had to fight. I know my father carried with him in World War II one of those little New Testament Bibles that were given out to so many of the GIs fighting over there. And that really meant a lot to him as it gave him encouragement, hope, confidence to get through those battles. And if we don't stand up, we're going to see all of that eroded very, very quickly in our nation.
Yeah, you know, Shirley had at that event you're talking about more than 50 congressmen there at some time during the day. That's quite
exciting.
That's impressive, isn't it?
You know, people don't realize if you get three or four members of Congress together for an event just because of their schedules, that is huge. That is really difficult to do. When you get 50 of them coming together for an event like that, that is really impressive because I guarantee you there were a lot of them that wanted to come, and just because of committee meetings or votes or whatever, they just couldn't be able to work their way there. But it's incredibly powerful to see 50-some members of Congress that care enough to come and make sure that they were present at that event.
Comment on the Army's decision not to allow Franklin Graham to come and speak at the Pentagon this year.
You know, I think that was just very, very much a lack of courage on the part of the Army to do that. We are continuing to try to have discussions with the Army to make sure those kind of things don't happen in the future. But to take someone like Franklin Graham, who's had such an enormous ministry around the country, and to specifically pick him out and say that he could be there. And as you know, it wasn't just him. It was the whole National Day of Prayer Committee that were ultimately disinvited. I think our Army is going down a road that's a very, very dangerous road if they continue to do these kinds of things. But Jim, it brings me to another point that's important for your listeners.
Before you do that, can I insert here that Franklin Graham has a son who's in combat in the Middle East. I don't want to identify where. He's serving his fourth tour in a war zone, and yet his father could not come and pray at the Pentagon. That's outrageous.
And also, Jim, you know as well as I know, had he not been a Christian, had he been some other faith, they would never dare disinvite him and not allow him to be there. And that's so wrong for them to have done something like that. One of the things we are seeing, though, Jim, around is that these anti-faith groups are oftentimes so vocal that it's easier for the Army to make decisions like that, which they think then are creating less waves, even though not very courageous, rather than standing up for our freedom of religion rights. That's why I think it's so important for us as people of faith to make sure we're standing up too, so that they know that there's not just a single voice, that being the anti-faith voice, but there are people of faith that are standing up as well. And one thing we do not do enough of, and I would just encourage all your listeners to consider doing this, when we have the reverse, when we have people of faith who take courageous decisions as leaders, we need to reward them by sending them thank you notes and sending them emails and letters saying thanks for your courage and thanks for standing in there to protect our religious freedoms and our religious liberty.
Well, we've heard many things today that are alarming to us, but let's share some good news, some more good news. You have introduced a resolution. It's called House Resolution 274 that is entitled In God We Trust, and the purpose of it is to make that phrase our national motto. Explain what that will do and why it's important.
Well, Jim, what it does is with all of these individual attacks like we saw in Wisconsin and we're seeing elsewhere, what this bill would do, it's a resolution of the House that would reaffirm our national motto, In God We Trust. I think overwhelmingly people across America will say, In God We Still Trust. And I believe that we do, and I think that's a bill that we need to have that debate, and we brought that because I think it's the time for us to have that kind of legislation.
If that passed, it could be put in every school in the country, couldn't it?
Well, one of the things that you see in some schools like in Mississippi, where they have a state law, which I think is a great law, that says that the national motto must be displayed in every classroom in Mississippi, and today it's my understanding it is. And the reason that's so important is, as you know, with some of these crazy cases that we have out now, we have some young children who are actually afraid of mentioning the word God or the name Jesus Christ in a school classroom at all. And certainly, if they're afraid to mention it there, sometimes they're afraid to mention it elsewhere. By just having the national motto in classrooms, it would show those students that that's okay. You can talk about your faith and religion, and that the government can't stop you and censor you from doing that.
Well, we've been talking today with Congressman Randy Forbes from Virginia about some issues that ought to be of concern to every citizen and every American. Our time is gone. Congressman, thank you so much for being our guest.
Well, Jim, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure to be with you. And again, just thank you for all that you've done for our families across this nation and keeping them strong.
We will be in touch.
Have a great day.
And some great insights today from Capitol Hill on this Family Talk broadcast. Ryan, I sure hope someone who heard this conversation today has been inspired anew to pray for this country.
I do too, Luann. We definitely heard some good news today, which is such a breath of fresh air. But there is still much to be concerned about, and I'm really glad my dad was able to have that conversation with Congressman Forbes today. I'd encourage our listeners to find us on Facebook. Just search for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Join the group and tell us how you're going to pray for our country and government. We'd love to hear from you.
That's a great idea, Ryan. We'll also have links to our Facebook page at myfamilytalk.com, along with more information about that Congressional Prayer Caucus that we heard about today. Maybe you'd like to call us instead. Our number, 1-877-732-6825. Have a great weekend. Go on a hike with your family or maybe even mow that lawn. But whatever you do, make plans to join us here on Monday. We have a great program lined up. Ryan, we finally get to hear about your recent trip to the Louisiana State Penitentiary, also known as Angola.
Yeah, Luann, I am so excited to talk about this. It was such a life-changing event for me. Angola is the largest maximum security prison in the U.S., and I can't wait to share with our listeners what took place there.
I'm looking forward to it.